Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
place.
Wake
up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Thank you, Elgin. Let's do that. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show with our real board, our sound equipment, which we're using this time. We had a show on Monday. We apologize for the sound quality, but I didn't realize the board was disconnected, and thank God there's a mic on that shitty camera over there. So we sounded like we were doing a podcast from my garage, which most podcasts are from a garage. Minda's here.
I am.
And a special guest in the studio, fresh off our sold-out show last night, I'd like to say, from the Wise Guys Comedy Show, John Fish.
Hey, hey.
You're a Boston comic.
I am from Boston, but I live in New York.
You're a New York guy now,
Yeah.
You know. And
17 years, man.
17 years in New York?
Yeah.
But that's not a big difference going from Boston to New York, is it?
As far as what? Life or comedy?
Let's start with life.
Life, yeah. I don't think anything's like New York, you know what I
no.
mean? Like, New York is just its own thing. You can take a breath of fresh air when you leave New York, and no matter where you go. So.
I can only tolerate a couple weeks when I'm in New York.
Yeah.
Like, I when I get there, I'm like, oh, this is great. I don't have to drive.
Yeah.
I just can go anywhere I want. I love pissing people off when I walk in the street, and I'll go, hey, is there any place I can get something to eat around here? And, and then I have a little fun like that. But then after a couple weeks of being in cramped spaces.
Yeah. That's why it's good to be a comedian, because we leave a lot.
Yes.
We leave enough. You know,
that's not a bad, right. It's good. So you're there.
Yeah.
You get some time.
My buddy once told me that he didn't even do comedy. He was just talking about New York City life. He was just like, it's the best place to leave and the best place to come back to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hanging out after a while, it's a little, you know.
Oh, it wears on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody's, my friends say you're always drinking because you're not driving, right? You don't have to worry about it. So you're pretty much always drunk every night.
In general, there are people that are always drinking.
Yeah. Not you, though.
I tend not to.
No, yeah. That's good.
I'm a glass of wine guy here and there.
Yeah. You mentioned that on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Last night. It was funny when you said that about the red wine.
Yeah. I'll tell you. I can. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a date. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had a lady last night.
Oh, God.
And she brought, first of all, it was really weird because I started the show and there was like a 12-year-old, 11-year-old girl sitting with them.
Okay. Awkward.
Yeah, it was awkward. I would say so. And
she turned out to be the most in control of that crowd, of that table.
She was the most disciplined of that table.
All right.
Can I tell you something interesting, too? When I got there, because my aunt and my cousin were there, when I got there, my aunt's one of these people that makes friends with everybody.
Uh-huh.
But, like, so it wasn't that big a deal to me, but she was like, hey, will you take a picture of us? So this woman took a picture of me, my aunt, and my cousin for us. And she, like, came right over and she, like, rubbed my scruff, like, my beard, and, like, was like, oh, hello. And I was like, oh, you might.
Where?
This, do you actually know this woman? And she's like, no, we just met tonight. And I was like, all right. And then, so, like, we know.
Right.
We know when something, like, I was like, this woman. She's going to do something tonight.
Yeah, because she got more and more. She was
a wild card of the show, if you will. Like, we don't know which way she's going to go, but it's not going to be productive for the audience in any manner.
She got more and more chatty as the show went on.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
Then
she starts helping you with your jokes. And
this happens 5% of the time with someone like that, where the rest of the audience turns on them.
Yeah.
Right.
They were just like, it's cute, it's fun, but then they're so drunk that they don't know what they're doing at this point, at that point.
Yeah. She just, I mean, I guess the last 5-10 minutes of your set, because I'm standing in the corner, I'm watching, the whole family's like, shut up.
Yeah, the family.
And then they didn't even, she didn't care. The kid's like, shut up. And she's like, oh, bad. And like, oh my God.
Yeah.
God, they're probably like taping an episode of Intervention. Like, yeah.
Well, it was her son's 18th birthday.
Yeah, that's a nice thing, a nice way to celebrate, you know, bringing the 12-year-old, you know, daughter or whatever, and then getting belligerently drunk at a comedy show that neither of them are like, should even be at. I mean, 18, yeah, you're definitely old enough.
He was cool.
But
yeah, he was good.
It's kind of like, who wants to like turn 18 hanging out with your folks at an Italian restaurant watching comedy with your little sister?
And like, they had come all the way from Miami.
Oh gosh.
And from what I understand too, and they posted a photo on Facebook. I'm not friends with them, but they posted the photo on Facebook. They took photos of all of us.
Oh really?
There's a couple good ones.
Okay.
I stole it.
So did they enjoy their
they
time?
Had a great time.
All right. Well, I guess that's all that matters in the end.
Now,
and
I don't know if you could say that because the one thing that was upsetting is they didn't tip their waiter.
Okay, calling them out. Yeah. Right here. All right. So
well, it was
the people
one of,
who recently posted a bunch of pictures about the show, they don't tip. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we either thought, maybe they thought, like, since they're from Miami, that most of the restaurants in Miami put the tip on the bill.
That's
so
true.
So maybe they had thought, you know.
Okay.
And it could have been, too, that this one of the people said that there was a fingernail in their ice cream.
Ooh.
That Eddie, you know, the owner said, well, shit, if I'd have known that before they left, I would have, you know, taken something off the bill.
And I would like to apologize for throwing that fingernail into their dessert.
Yeah.
Hey, now you know what it feels like when you keep sticking your fucking 2 cents into my act. We put a fingernail in your fucking ice cream.
Look, let's just face it. There's a 50-50 shot that it was that drunk lady's fingernail.
That's
like,
what I said,
you know,
what
I definitely think there's at least a 50% chance that she was like, fuck this show, and then ripped her fingernail off and stuck it right in
I'm
there.
I'm going to even tag you. I'm going to piggyback on that and say it was a 50-50 chance that it was her fingernail, but like also a very good chance she didn't realize it. Like it just fell off of her. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Who's is this?
Yeah.
Who's is this nail?
Disgusting.
This is disgusting. Oh, it's mine.
Look, well, and that's, you do have to be cognizant of that. As a female with long brown hair, I'm going to tell you, I've learned that before I freak about hair in my food, I got to go like, hold on, is it yours? Let's hold, you're hovering over the food, you have long hair, it's not in a ponytail, let's assess and make sure this shit ain't yours. But then, you know, it's curly and it's blonde, and I'm like, yo,
and that
we
is,
got a problem.
That is one of the very few advantages of being a bald man.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that at all. You know that it's definitely not yours.
By the way, I like the I like the beard.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
Yeah, it's a new look.
Yeah,
I think it's a
newish,
good look.
Yeah. You know what it was? It was... I like the clean look.
Right.
But I was noticing, like, in pictures, it just doesn't look... So, like, on stage, I think it just looks a little bit better to have something... There.
It distinguishes a chin line. Since I'm chubby now.
Yeah.
Now. I've been chubby now for a few years. Sometimes the goatee or a chin, you know, give you a little more of a
jawline.
Jawline.
There you go.
But like in photos, I always said this for years, my wife would always say, chin down. And I always thought chin down was like Korean or Cambodian for fucking cheese. You know, like everybody says, chin down in a Chinese photo or Asian photo. Chin down, okay, it was a smile. You know, let's just keep my fat face. And that's like at the Buddha, at the Funky Buddha, or the robot, I should say. They always take photos at this open mic, and they take it from like, the stage is like 18 feet high, for God's sakes. You know, it's a big, it's like, what, about 3 foot tall stage?
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
And they take the photos from, you know, for me, they take a photo from down there, and it's not very... You know, it's not, you know, it's not
which
the best
you
angle.
You think, like, chin down almost seems like it doesn't make sense, because you think the farther your chin's down, if you have a bunch of fat, it's going to roll up. Like, that's what I envision, like, with chin down. But I think it's like it has to be out and, like,
chin
down.
Out, down?
Out
and
so,
down.
So now I got to tell my wife to tell me, chin out, down.
Yeah.
Okay.
You need her to just adjust you for pictures, like steering wheels. Like when you're like, all right, let me just move this around.
Remember like when you got to pose like for your high school photo, like turn this way, turn this way. Like, how the fuck would I take a photo? And then you look at it like, wow, I actually look pretty good in that photo. They must know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It was fun. We were nervous because the last time at Tavolino's in February, we didn't have a very good crowd.
Okay.
We had about 15 people. So I was a little concerned. But they got on it, and we had, I don't know, like 40-something, 50 people in there last night. Pretty good show. And we're excited. So Bremen Motor Car, iHeart Theater tonight, and you're going to be in Casey and Spaz's rooms.
Yeah.
In Palm Bay, and then at the Sunrise Theater. You've been there.
I have.
It's, I told him it's always a great room, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a fun room, and everyone's really nice and excited to see comedy. And let's face it, there's not that much else going on.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
You definitely get a decent crowd, because what do they have to do?
2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years ago there.
2 or 3 years.
Yeah. And it always has a good crowd. But you're right. That's where comedy clubs really do well, unless you're in New York, where, you know, they got somebody. But usually comedy clubs do well in towns where there isn't much. Where if bowling is like the next best option, that's when comedy clubs do well.
You got a really good 50% chance that they're going to pick comedy at that point.
Yeah.
You know, here it's like it's 10th on the list and people are like, I never heard of that guy.
Yeah.
You know, or like whatever. So, yeah, no, it's definitely a better draw in a place like that.
When I was in Little Rock, this lady had this fucking look on her face, like just miserable. You know, and everybody else was laughing. I was like, okay, she's fun. I go, I ask her, boy, you don't like me at all, do you? Unless you got that look on your face like you wanted to go bowling tonight instead. And that's what she goes, yeah, actually, I did. I really wanted to go bowling tonight. So,
yeah. But, well, where I started in Boston, there was always a comedy show at a bowling alley in New Hampshire, actually.
But, yeah.
You can do both.
There's a place called Liberty Comedy. I think it's in... is it Fredericksburg, Virginia?
Okay.
It's at a bowling alley upstairs, you know, at the event center kind of thing. It's always good when you mix stuff like that. You know, do you feel like, has there ever been ever go to a certain club and then ask yourself, like I asked Al Martin on Monday, I go, Al, am I going to be discovered in Oklahoma City? And he went, no. And Al, probably Al's joining us on Facebook Live.
Hey, Al.
And he says, no, you know what I mean? And I was like, shit, why am I doing these gigs? But I'm doing those gigs just to get stage time and work on my craft and everything, right?
Well, those are the fun. That's why we do. You know, sometimes you're saying, do I get discovered? Well, when you get discovered, as you're saying, then you get to go do more shows. And that's the fun part.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Now you've been doing this a bit, so you like I'm always thankful when guys like you come and do our show, because some people say, I'm not going to do it unless it's a theater or this and that. So is there any gigs you just won't do?
I'm sure there are at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I used to have this thing of I just needed 2 out of 3 things.
Right.
Like I needed it to be a good show. I need them to treat me well and pay me enough and put me up nice. You know, I was like, just give me 2 out of 3. Now I'm just like, I need all 3.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, I mean, there's a gig, I won't mention it, but I can't stand the condo.
Yeah.
It is a shithole, okay? Even Trump says it's a shithole, and I won't go, unless I get a hotel, I won't go there again.
Yeah.
I just won't do it.
Years ago, I was in this Milwaukee. It was the only time I've ever had to put myself up. I remember, and there was other things that were happening during the week that the owners ended up saying, like, hey, we'd like to take you out to eat. We'll pick you up at the hotel. And I knew I wasn't going, but I was like, okay. And then they were like, all right, we'll come by the hotel and pick you up. I was like, actually, I'm staying in a hotel. I just wanted them to know that I put myself up in a hotel.
Yeah. So they didn't put you up at the hotel they normally use.
No. They put me in a condo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was so disgusting. I remember calling my therapist. And she was like, and we agreed on like giving it one night. And I was like, all right, if I still feel like this in the morning, I can do it. She's like, yep. And I didn't even call her. I was like, I'm out of here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I stayed the night, but the next day it was the grossest. And I remember talking to Nick DiPaolo, and he was like, yeah, that was gross 15 years ago.
What was the grossest part about it? What was the thing that made you pick up the phone and call the therapist? What was that moment where you were like, oh, hell no. No.
It was just the whole thing. Just
okay.
It's,
there
it,
was no one like
no,
moment.
No, it was the
where
whole
you...
thing. Because there's two that are really bad. There was a San Antonio condo that was so gross that I remember people that I actually stayed in. It wasn't so bad that I needed to leave, but it was very bad. And I remember other comics telling me, like, don't bring food back because there's roaches.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I didn't. And then the very last night I had leftovers, and I remember like putting them in a bag, tying the bag that they gave me the food, you know,
right,
and putting it in the fridge.
Still got roaches in the fridge?
Lights on. There were roaches on the counter and scattering away. Yeah, it was so gross.
Yeah. That's the worst.
They just they smelled that food in the air. Yeah. Like they came out looking for it.
But that condo, it was just like, you know, old furniture and like just, you know, like cigarette burns.
Yeah,
in the
a lot of roaches.
And
that could be a moment for me where I'm like, no, I can't. Because, you know, you can't have your roaches getting your shit too. And then everywhere you go, you have roaches in your fucking luggage. Like,
ridiculous.
It's super gross.
And some of these comedian people that work in those, they're like, oh, you guys like this, right?
Yeah.
You're road dogs. And it's like, no.
Yeah, no, no. I don't like it at all. Thanks.
Nope, nobody likes this.
You like it for the store? No.
No, that's not a good deal.
Like a homeless person that needs a free place to stay. Yeah. They don't even really like this. Right. So like they're like, you know, well, if I have to.
Yeah. Even the homeless guy's like, I don't know if I want to check this place out. That's crazy. But at any rate, so we were happy about that the show went well. And you know, I don't, you know, and by the way, Bob Levy says, you will be discovered in an alleyway. Thanks, Bob Levy. That's my buddy.
In New York.
That's right.
Yeah.
In an alleyway. I'd be telling jokes to the fucking bums in there.
Oh, I thought you meant dad. Sorry. I was, now you're telling jokes to bums.
Too.
Yeah, we were on the dead train, right? No, let's go dark. Why'd it go silent? You were totally fucking dead in that alley. And that's Bob, you know, Levy. I wouldn't expect anything less from him than death at that point. Like, he's going to take it all the way.
And Bob, we were just talking about you last night.
We were talking about
you. He's joining us.
I think I only worked with him once. I think we worked. I was telling you, like, the opener didn't show up. And I was like not emotionally prepared to go up for this crowd. It was like I'm not ready. I didn't think I was opening, and you know, and he was like, I'll go up and host, and he destroyed so hard.
Oh yeah.
That I bombed harder than I would have if I just went up.
Yeah.
Right away. And it was one of those nights where you're like, you're watching the guy and you're like, you don't need me. You can just stay here and do 3 hours, Bob.
Bob says one of his condos, the cum on the lamp.
Oh, see, that's a moment right there where you're like, no, I need to leave.
Yeah, that's enough. I have enough of that.
How did you know it was cum?
Yeah, did you taste it? What happened?
He probably comes in there with like a black light, you know, for his own pleasure, but then also, you know, as like a backup.
Exactly.
Gets it all started in there.
Why not, right? Any rate, but that's good, one way or the other. I don't this week, like, I left food at the condo in Little Rock at the Looney Bin, right? And I wrote on there. I took a Sharpie because I left what the hell would I leave? Oh, I left some coffee, had some Dunkin' Donuts. I left it there, and I put a note on it. Said, "This is from comedian Dougie Almeida. I didn't jerk off in the coffee. Yeah, I didn't. Go ahead and you can have it if you want to. It's good coffee. It's Dunkin' Donuts, right? I had some mayonnaise." I put a note on there, so I didn't stick my dick in the mayonnaise. Oh, Bob Levy says it was his cum. Okay,
so oh, yeah.
That's how he knew it was.
That's how he knew it was. Right. That totally makes sense.
I think it's out of. And you know what I mean? But the rule is you don't eat anything that's in the fridge. Why would you?
Nah.
You know?
I mean, maybe some condiments that are left there. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Because I always heard that comics always stick their dick in the mayonnaise jar. But then I thought, then these are like these little squeeze bottles.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if anybody stuck their dick in this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they got a little dick.
Yeah.
And then you got to feel bad for them anyway. And how dangerous can a little dick be?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does a little dick have less germs on it than a big dick?
Well, it probably couldn't even reach whatever's left in the mayonnaise jar. You
exactly.
know, like if it's that little that it fits in the hole, like how long is it really hanging down? Like
good
it's
point.
Not, yeah.
In other
plus,
words,
it's probably venereal disease free because small dick people aren't fucking.
They're not getting a lot of leg. They're not getting a lot of
you
pussy.
Don't, you don't really pull that thing out for
but
a
but that's
lot
you're
reasons.
Right. There's a good point. Unless he stuck his dick in it, turned it over, started patting it like a fucking ketchup
like what are
bottle.
You going to, I don't.
And that's an undertaking just to piss somebody off. I don't know if any comic with a
kind of time?
With a micro penis, you know, would go through all that. But there was some cold cuts left over when we got there.
Oh, ew. Why don't you just throw that out? It's,
well,
come on.
First
it's
of all,
deli
I
meat.
Bought
That's
my
disgusting.
Own. I always get my own. That's what I, when I go to the comedy condo, I buy, depending how long I'm there, basically 3/4 pounds of ham, boar's head, low salt ham, some boar's head turkey, and some alpine lace, baby Swiss cheese, or Munster, one of the two. Depending how I'm feeling.
With or without cum.
With or without cum. You know, no extras. And then, you know, and that's when I get some grapes and some bananas. And, of course, if I really want to, I get some Oreo double stuffed cookies. Got to have those. And I was really proud because I had a few left. And I left them there. You know, somebody's going to go in there. That was really funny. The guy I was working with, because we were in Oklahoma City. And then we drove to Little Rock. And my buddy I was working with left. We bought some smoke.
Okay.
And then he left his half at the condo.
That's stupid.
Could you imagine? I mean, some guy, you know, somebody goes, oh, my God. And they opens a drawer and finds a bag of weed in there.
Crazy. Well, you would think this is the best comedy condo ever. Like, oh, wow, they really treat their comedians nice here.
That guy is not complaining about the cum on the lampshade.
No, nope, he's too high to notice the cum on the lampshade.
He's going to call his agent. Holy shit, I love this gig. We're going to come back all the time. While we're talking about comedy, I put
you were going to say, while we're talking about comedy.
Yeah, so did I.
Anybody want to give me a hand? I am, I had a, I posted on Facebook, I'm trying to balance chasing my dreams and attention of my loved ones.
Yeah.
Because I've been on the road a lot.
Yeah.
And it's causing some tension.
No shit.
Yeah.
No, that's definite, yeah.
Now, Minda's boyfriend is a comedian, and he's starting to travel a bit. Minda, but that's another
boyfriend.
Thing.
Boyfriend, no,
fiance. I'm sorry.
Come on, give me a break, bro. Come on, you've seen the whole journey.
Yeah, you're right. It's true. Now, let's talk about this first. You ever date another comedian?
Not really.
No.
No.
No. Would you?
I would. I don't use it as my dating pool, I've always said, but I would, not shy away from,
it wouldn't be a deal breaker, in other words.
No. Like, if I fell in love with another comedian, sure, right. But I'm not like, hey, let's go, let's see what's up,
yeah.
You know?
Now, if you did fall in love with a comedian,
he's not trolling open mics, no. Going like, oh, yeah. She's up and coming. You want to write together,
That would be a bit of a scurvy, skeevy thing, wouldn't
it? Oh, that's
it?
How all the boys do it. I mean, yeah. God, that's why, for years and years and years, I refused to date any comedians,
yeah.
Because I was terrified of becoming that girl who dated a bunch of comedians. And then, how do you ever have fun at an open mic? It gets weird. So
sure.
That was, a deal breaker for me, if you will. If you were a comic, I just was not interested on any level.
Now, if you were dating a comic, and then she would you continue dating her if she was a horrible comic?
I don't think we could start dating if I didn't think she was right. Funny.
How can you have sex with somebody who's not funny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's say you meet her. Oh, she's hot. You meet a hot girl. She's, oh, my God. I'm a comic. And then, oh, that's great,
I would go so far as saying the reverse would be more important.
What's that?
Like if she was funny, she wouldn't need to be hot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because that, humor kind of, it'd be fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stand behind that wall, honey.
Yeah.
Bob Levy says, I dated Florentine for 2 years. Yeah, it was great. Bob and I were dating. Because we had a situation here in Florida. I didn't realize this, but Brian Coronado, who was dating...
Sarah Cutler.
Uh-huh. And yeah, I guess they broke up. I didn't know that.
I heard about this.
They had broken up, and other comics started hitting her up.
Oh, all day, every day. You know how many comics asked me out on a date? Before I went out with Dan, which was I was already doing comedy for 5 years or something when we met, because he wasn't from here, so new to the dating comedian pool. But especially girls, if you're not a super hypersexual comedian and you tend to be then self-deprecating or say embarrassing stories or whatever, and that makes other comedians feel like you may be more attainable than you are. And for many of the girls, they are just that attainable. But I just had standards with real jobs and things that don't come natural to a lot of comedians. So, for me, it wasn't hard to be no. And, even if they were nice and good looking, I can't have you sober living, or whatever, you're down here on vacation or you have no job.
I thought it was funny that Brian put on there. He's he goes, for you guys private messaging my ex-girlfriend, she's sending me every one of your messages.
Oh,
that
I bet she
hilarious.
Is. Yeah.
Can you imagine? That's hey, now that you're not going out funny. That fucking guy.
Oh, because they're friends still.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I guess based on what I'm not putting anything out there. Reading the post, it's what it seemed like, I guess. I don't know if it was a joke, but he didn't want to marry her, and she wanted to take it to another level, and that seems to be the reason of their breakup.
No, see, I don't know any of this.
Yeah, I didn't even know they broke up.
I'm out of the loop. But
what's her number?
Yeah, and she just started posting a bunch of like bikini shots.
Well, what's her Instagram?
That's what girls do.
Do girls do that when you break up with them? They start putting.
Yes. Oh yeah, they're living their best life now.
Even if I got in an argument with my girlfriend, there would be.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's like, look what you are missing out on. Or the best is post-breakup, there's the lavish vacation or girls outing pictures. Like, me and my girls, we have each other's back.
It.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no.
Yeah, they're banging a fireman or something.
Well, they're all
they're hanging
probably
out with a pilot.
Not banging anyone. That's why they're doing that picture on Instagram. You know, they're just a bunch of girls hanging out.
See, the last time I broke up with somebody, there was no such thing as social media or Facebook.
Oh, better time.
Yeah, the good old days when, you know, you could do shit without anybody knowing. I couldn't imagine now. But that's why, listen, I was worried about it there because my old lady was a little, I think she almost had it. She was like fucking yelling at me over everything. And I realized it was because I've been out of town so much.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, you know, and she's always been real supportive. But it kind of came to that point where it's like, you know, I got yelled at over nothing. You know, there's something wrong when you get yelled at over. Like, I took the garbage out and I got yelled at for it. You know what I mean? So I realized there was something.
It's tough when the other half is traveling. I do comedy, and it's I don't envision a life where we're like, you know, traveling separately to follow our dream as, you know, a feature breaking even around the country. You know, like, I'm like... Everyone has their own path, and there's lots of avenues now where you can pick a strategy and go with it. And for me, that's not an ideal strategy. If I was like a single guy or something, and I just wanted to, you know, cross the country banging women from around, you know, small towns in America,
I'm picturing
that
this.
Could be like a very dope, you know,
lifestyle.
Like exciting.
It could be a
lifestyle,
very dope
like
month or two.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Until you realize that you don't get to bang everyone everywhere you go, you know.
Until it starts hurting when you pee.
Reality sets in. Yeah.
And that whole game plan kind of falls to
and
the
you
side.
Realize you're not breaking even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you.
And then you could be lonely anywhere in America.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be at home.
Yeah.
When I
to be depressed in my own bed. Thank
yeah.
You.
Thank you. When I posted this on Facebook, a few people reached out to me. Very nice. But they said, hey, you know, stick to your dreams and make sure family comes first,
dreams.
You know, whatever, and this and that. And but then, you know, a couple people had said to me, I know so-and-so comic that never got married because of that. Like, you know, they just couldn't, you know, could you imagine, like, holding that part of your life off? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know that I wasn't going to get serious. It was going to be really hard for me to be serious when I was a full-time, let's say, financial planner working for Wells Fargo. You know, working Monday through Friday, you know what I mean? And suit and shit.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to eventually have to end if I really wanted to have freedom to do what I wanted to do. And it ended up happening. You know, it just ended up happening. And then there's another thing. It's like, well, you know, unless my wife starts coming on gigs with me, you know what I mean?
Which really isn't that much fun. I mean, no offense to all the comedians out there. No. Your wife's really fun. Her watching you do the same set night after night is not that fun
for her. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, then the alternative is like, oh, get lost in this town that you've never been to for a few hours. I'll see you after the show. So it is. It's a weird thing where it is kind of all about the comic.
Yeah, because the road can be rough, but you do it for that hour on stage.
Right.
So that's the fun part about it. And then you're... wife is there with you, and she's just doing the shitty 24 hours.
Yeah.
She gets no comedy.
That's a good point.
Nobody tell her she's great and really funny, and, oh, man, you're going to make it one day, and you keep going. You keep grinding it out.
Isn't that the weirdest thing? I was thinking about this when I was away for 2 weeks. I kept thinking, I'm getting up. I mean, the good thing about this Looney Bin run, you're in a house, so you're not in some little shitty place. You're in a house, you know, you got... But I didn't have a car, but there was somebody with a car. And you got to, hey, can you want to go to the mall? And you go to the mall... You know, you go to a movie theater, and then I work during the day whenever I'm on the road. I usually get up in the morning, pull my computer out, and start doing my job and stuff like that. But you're right. Like, think about it. Like, we'll go through all that shit just to do that 45 minutes, whatever, on stage that night. That's it. That's the whole fucking day, right? And you're sitting there like, oh, I put up with all this other shit. I had that moment, too, when I was away where I was like, fuck, you know, like, is this really, you know, like, you start questioning, like, you know, and then, of course, when you go on stage, like, yeah, this is what I'm here for. But you ever get to that point, you're like, fuck, what am I doing?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think so that everybody gets to that point. I don't know if it's healthy. It's just part of the...
It's hard. You guys are on the other side of it, but as a single guy, even dating, like I'm trying to date somebody and it's like, can you want to go out Tuesday night, which is my typical night off, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're like, I've got a work thing. And it's like, all right, how about in 3 weeks?
Yeah.
On Tuesday. You know what I mean? So it's hard to get into a relationship too.
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of it too. Yeah. Cause like, let me ask you that, because usually when a girl finds out you're a comic, what's their first, that's kind of cool. Or are they thinking through it and they go,
it depends. It's really weird. You know, it's like, because I'll meet people on these.
How successful of a comedian are you? Like,
exactly.
You know, NBA successful or like EuroLeague successful?
I'll tell you, I want a little, like, I don't like that question of like, is that all you do or is that your full time? And I'm just like, all right, this isn't going to, you have no idea about my world. But, you know, I had a girl and we had a decent time. I think we went on one or two dates.
Right.
And met her after, at a show even. And and she was like, so when do you want to meet up? It was getting hard to meet up. And she was, what do you do during the day? And I was like, oh, that's kind of when I do, like, you know, the business side of things and writing. And she's like, okay, so you can meet during the day. She, like, just sort of, like, totally wrote off what I had just said. And I was like, oh, okay, this isn't going to work.
That means she's pushing into your shit. Like,
or just that she didn't value.
Right.
Okay, but you can't expect someone to value something that they don't know about, which is probably the only good part about dating another comic or marrying another comic.
Yeah.
Is like, I know when he's at an open mic for 3 hours that he's not talking to a bunch of girls and throwing down. Like, it's a shitty open mic with a bunch of other comedians there.
Yeah.
Or, like, you kind of get the grind. Or, luckily for me... the night we met, I was on stage performing. So there was no even like, oh my God, how's it going to be when they see my comedy for the first time? Are they going to like it? Yeah. Are they not going to like it? Are they going to understand that not every show is a great show? And what show am I going to bring them to?
Yeah.
All of that, I don't have to worry
about
any of that, you know, because that's not like a factor. We all kind of are on the same page, but nobody wants to be alone. Like,
What if Dan's career takes off and then he's on the road all the time?
Oh, we got a plan for that, and it includes me going.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there
no.
There you go.
Yeah,
well,
no.
You're fortunate because you got a flexible, in a sense.
I got a flexible
your own
job.
Boss.
We'll get an RV. We'll throw the kids in. We'll do homeschooling.
Oh,
like,
kids?
I gotta do it soon. I keep putting it off, and, you know, if it was up to him, this would have happened years ago.
Yeah, he wants to be a dad.
Yeah, and so I'm running out of time. That's what's happening.
Are you worried about your biological clock there, John?
Oh,
sure.
Man. I wish I was a guy.
Sure.
You want to have kids?
Yeah.
You do? Like,
well, I have a joke where I just say, I mean, the setup is that I used to want to have kids. Now I want to have kid because I don't know if I can, you know, I don't know if I can handle it more than
funny.
A kid at this age.
Yeah,
oh,
I have a joke.
God.
I have a joke that says I didn't have any kids. I had parents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had to take care of my parents my adult life. But, I that was the thing. That was the all for me once, you know, my wife and I tried. We did the in vitro thing, and we, you know, didn't. And then it was all like a big, to me, it was like, wow, well, I ended up taking care of my parents all my adult life.
Yeah.
You know, one of my mentors said to me, he was like, this is probably what it's meant to be. That's why you should keep chasing what you want to do, because now it's time for you. What are you going to have kids now if you took care of your parents for 20 years?
Yeah.
And you have to take care of kids for another 20 years? You know?
I don't have a joke. I just have the general conversation of what I've been telling people, and that's, I think I'm going to need therapy to have a kid. Like, that's, I'm going to have to go to therapy to do it. To, like,
You need to have therapy to have sex?
No.
Oh, you mean actual?
Oh, well, we have lots of sex. If it was about the sex, I would already be pregnant, like, a bunch of times.
Yeah. Are you guys trying?
No, not yet. I got to make some lifestyle changes that I'm finding hard to embrace.
Really?
This is
interesting. So
they'll be positive.
You throw him off you before he finishes? What do you mean?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, look, for a girl, maybe you don't think about that as a guy. I'm committing to a life of sobriety for a year. I'm pretty much not going to be like open miking it, like, you know, all gross and pregnant, even though a lot of ladies do, and that's cool for them. I don't know if I'm going to want to be like, everyone's hanging out, smoking, drinking, and I'm like boring and fat. Like, I just, it's a lot to take in.
You almost described me there for a minute.
For 38 years, I've been doing whatever I want with no encumbrance, you know, like nothing encumbering me, nothing.
Right.
I sleep in late. I do a lot of fun things. We vacationed on average every 6 weeks last year.
Wow.
That's
look at
a
you guys.
Fact. And it's kind of like, you know, to cope with the impending doom of never vacationing again, but then also like it's just so much responsibility. Oh my God. Yeah,
sure,
no,
yeah.
it's gonna require a lot of therapy for me to take the plunge. Hmm. I've been trying to mentally prepare for the last year.
Now you're at the stage of your life, you know, you're not a spring chicken, you're not a young old guy either, but what do you think? You think you're putting much hope behind this marriage thing, getting onto that, or?
I mean, I have always thought of myself as doing that.
Marrying kind.
Marrying and having a kid or two, you know. And like I said, I don't know if I can handle more than one, but, you know, maybe I meet someone that can.
What day, will you reach a day, like an age where you say, I guess it's just not going to happen now?
Or, as
a guy, you don't need to. What kind of age is that? Like, yeah. You got to be super old to be like, oh, I give up. Like,
yeah,
I,
people have second, you know,
yeah.
Second kid, second rounds.
Yeah,
yeah,
third
yeah.
rounds. Look at
my
these.
My first would be yeah. just later.
Around that later time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I always thought, I don't want to be like my kid 18. I'm like 68 years old.
My friend Andy's dad is 90. They have a great relationship. He's going strong, you know. It's like, yeah, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I'll only have 20, but who knows how long I'll live.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping 70.
Fun fact,
let's
they
hope.
Say old parents live longer.
Do they?
Yes, because having a kid, you know, look, a kid makes you young again in a lot of ways, and it forces you to run around after a fucking kid. Yeah. So,
I think if you have kids when you're young, it ages you like a president.
Oh, it does.
Because you don't know how to handle it. But
oh,
if you had the
God.
Kids when you're later in life, you said it spruces you up, and oh, yeah, let's go play catch.
You're
and
just
shit.
More patient. You usually have your shit together yeah. a little more.
You're like a grandparent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a little more knowledgeable.
Like,
you're a parent.
I don't wait so long. It's like I'm a grandparent.
You really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Well,
that's
yeah,
nice.
It's going to be it's going to be fun.
Speaking of being appreciative, it's that time.
Ooh. And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines. With Dougie Almeida.
Oh, I knew that was going to break through. Thank you, Peter. And again, we have the only newsroom with a typewriter. Here's our first story of the day. If my computer was going to help me out here. You know, this is, I don't know what's going on. Is there like a bug? Is like the Chinese fucking with us or something when it comes to shit? My computer is taking forever with everything.
Oh, man, it's probably like China and Russia has zeroed in on you for all like your
all
pro
the times
Trump. I've... Yeah, I know. They're on to you.
Well, here's a story out of Germany. A crematorium goes up in flames, but the bodies are fine.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
People can die with dignity. Oh, wait, they're already dead.
Yeah, they've died.
So
they're done.
So I have a question. It's a crematorium. The bodies are good. Wouldn't it have been like a freebie? If they all got burnt, they were on their way to being burnt anyway, hence
yeah,
the name crematorium.
Like it's like a four for one. There's four bodies in there.
Well, it's like, hey, bad news, the crematorium burnt down. Good news, you're getting it done for free.
Yeah. your family remains may include some...
brick, a little stone.
Some sofa, you know, all that kind of shit. In Berlin, a fire in crematorium in southern Germany has caused significant damage to the building. But the 20 bodies stored inside remained intact. German news agency DPA reported Thursday that the cause of the overnight fire in Schwabisch Hall, about 175 kilometers, which is 110 miles for those of you on the non-metric system, southeast of Frankfurt, was still being investigated. The news quoted that police saying the bodies were largely unharmed. They were still dead. By the blaze, which is estimated to have caused about 1.5 million euros, which is $1.7 million. See?
This all sounds very Holocaust.
Yeah, or like like a sign yeah, from yeah. the...
Get a little tense there, man.
I don't know. Maybe it's a sign from the loved ones that like they don't want to be cremated.
Yeah. Now,
I mean, that's
know.
A pretty obvious
cremate
sign
me,
there.
Cremate me, I'll cremate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. How dare you?
You're trying to burn me up? I'll burn this building down, bitch.
I'll burn this bitch to the ground. That's nuts. I still had somebody ask me that question. I do I want to be buried or do I want to be cremated? And I'm like, ugh. I mean, part of me wants to donate my body to science, kind of thing, you know, organ donor. What? You laughing at my organs?
Well, no. I am laughing at the, like, I don't know if they'll be in tip-top condition to be donated, is what I'm saying.
So, yes, you're laughing at his
yes, organs. You're laughing at my organs.
If you were, like, you know, like, being sold at the butcher store, you'd be, like, a really high quality of meat with a nice, like, marble to it, you know, like you'd be like
so I'm the ribeye of human beings.
Yeah. You're like the okay. prime yeah the prime rib of yeah. human beings. Sounds right
good. yeah you're so you, no one's taking you as deli meat to the comedy
no,
combo.
So I'm
no,
not
no,
a filet
no.
mignon. I am the skirt steak.
Sirloin strip. You're the
yeah,
sirloin
I'm
strip.
The sirloin
yeah,
strip
just, yeah.
Here's a story. Six men in court after stripping off and throwing their shit at each other on a train. That's always fun. People get in a shit fight.
We are literally monkeys at this point.
Yeah. The six men are said to have stripped off and defecated in a train carriage before throwing the excrement at each other. Sounds like fun. Some of the poop grenades went astray and struck female passengers.
Oh, they love that.
Yeah. Can you? I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
And on Facebook here in our city of Coral Springs, somebody posted a photo of a lady who dropped a food tray.
Yeah.
Like a styrofoam food tray out of her car.
Oh.
And put it on the floor next to, you couldn't wait till she got to home or something and threw it out. And the fucking guy took a picture of her license plate.
Oh, yeah. They did that.
Yeah.
Did that
shame.
In the Delray Raw Facebook group all the time.
I saw someone do, this guy was like, you know, cleaning up outside with the broom. Oh. And that you saw this one
that was in China
and some
or
lady
yeah.
yeah she threw out her stuff or some guy threw out it, and this other guy that was just walking by on his phone like took the broom and dustpan yeah. from the guy, swept it all up and threw
that was
it
great
in
video.
At the guy. It was
yeah
fantastic.
It was in China or something because the guy was some guy working guy street guy uh-huh. sweeping up shit. Some other guy was walking towards him and some guy was just throwing shit out of his driver's side on the floor and the guy kept sweeping it up and the guy says give me that, took his fucking thing, sweeps everything and throws it in the guy's
nice.
Window. Perfect.
Oh, I love when people take justice.
Yeah. The group aged 21 to 27 are also accused of loudly discussing their sexual exploits and asking passengers to expose themselves.
So on PCP, meth, fraternity, what's the deal? Because it sounds like a really shitty train ride.
Yeah.
And I mean that
literally.
On a lot of levels. Yeah.
They all face one charge of doing an act of outraging public decency while traveling between Bath Spa Station in Somerset and Chippenham. Willis, yeah, obviously this doesn't happen in America. The change
it doesn't, does it not? It definitely happens somewhere.
No,
there's
I heard
some...
something today about some guy dropping like 60 pounds of feces on a highway.
There you go.
What?
Yeah.
Not his, all his, I imagine.
I mean, I hope not.
That's a lot of shit.
That's premeditated.
Aren't we dumping shit in the ocean all the time when like planes fly over it and stuff? Don't they just do free dumps right into the...
Those blue ice
free
balls.
Falling.
The charges allege that the group were loudly discussing their exploits. They're accused of blah, blah, blah. They're also charged with removing items of their own clothing. Toby Clark, 22, of Wadden Wills, and Bobby Clifford, 21, of Chippenham, previously pleaded guilty for being shit throwers. So, yeah, I mean, listen, never good being at a party when somebody starts throwing shit, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a shitty party. I mean, what can you say?
There's a bunch of party poopers there. And
we do this
hey,
all night, yeah.
Yeah. If you saw that, did you see the video on Facebook? I guess it was released about a week or two ago, that some kid who was getting bullied in this private school put horse lie in the lemonade, and all these private school kids are running around the cafeteria shitting all over the place.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought you were going to say they all died. I thought it was like
yeah, well, of embarrassment.
Like the Euro school shooter equivalent. Like,
yeah.
I'm poisoning everyone in the cafeteria.
It was the worst. These poor kids are like sitting on garbage cans and everything. Here's a funny story. A woman runs over cop's foot at Daytona Beach Strip Club and crashes near Bike Week, police say.
Yeah, I bet Bike Week's pretty crazy down there. I've never been, and nor do I really care to go, but I could see how that could be like a real situation.
I'm going to be in Daytona this weekend on Saturday, headlining at the downtown Daytona Live. I'm bringing Nadeem Awad with me.
Okay.
But here's a story. In Daytona Beach, Florida, less than 30 minutes after going to a Daytona Beach hotel lobby overnight Monday to deal the report of a fight, police arrested a North Carolina woman who said she ran over a cop's foot while fleeing and crashed in an area filled with Bike Week visitors. Daytona Beach police were called to the Lexington Hotel on South Atlantic Avenue. This is where my club is known. Avenue, just after 1 a.m. on Monday, police say they spoke to the woman who said she and her friend, Lassine Faison, 26, were in a physical fight, and Faison choked her. The victim told police that when she attempted to leave, Faison grabbed her by the hair and threw her to the ground, repeatedly punching her. That's how you women fight dirty, man, with that hair grabbing.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that.
Nope.
That's a wimpy way to fight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Women fight nasty.
I know. We're dirty. We're dirty little bitches.
First thing you do is you grab each other's hair and start pulling.
Yeah, that's why in prison, you got to pull your hair back before you fight, and they take their flops off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I watch a lot of 60 Days In.
I was going to say, I didn't know you're part of the new Orange is the New Black.
They take their flip-flops off?
Yeah, you can't fight in flip-flops.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you can't do much of anything in flip-flops, matter of fact.
It's like an extra toe to stub.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that the worst, stubbing your toe?
Yeah.
How many times in life have you ever stubbed your toe?
Uncountable.
Yeah, because we used to play kickball in the street.
Yep.
And like, I'll play without shoes.
No.
I saw a kid stub his toe so bad, the whole skin of his toe was... it was really bad.
God, stop. Please stop.
Is that the worst feeling?
I don't even want to hear. It's not that it happens to me a lot, but I can just visualize the pain.
Hotel employees told police Faison smeared food on the hotel's room walls and flipped mattresses before fleeing. The victim said Faison stole her keys and left the victim's Dodge Stratus. Who wouldn't? Piece of shit car. Knowing she did not have a valid driver's license. An officer wrote in the arrest report they saw Dodge Stratus in the hotel parking lot about to leave. When the police attempted to stop her, the car from leaving the parking lot, the driver drove off, according to the arrest report, running over the cop's foot. Do you ever do that when you're a kid, when a car drives by, when you're playing kickball on the street or something, and the cop, or cars drive by, game on, kind of thing, and you sit there and you put your, my foot, and people panic? Yeah, it's fun.
I actually ran over my friend's foot in... high school. It wasn't good.
Yeah. Did he stay your friend?
Kinda.
Yeah.
To this day, his name was Jeremy Kugel. His name is Jeremy Kugel. And to this day, when my mom gets in the, when she's driving and everyone gets in the car, she's like, everyone in? Kugel?
And now we just call him Flipperfoot. He's an Olympic swimmer now, by the way. Thanks to that. Listen, I don't know. I mean, I'm amazed at just people's destructive abilities. I mean, if you're a rock band, then you fuck up a hotel. But I don't get it. I don't get this destructive mode people are in. You know?
Yeah.
Like breaking shit.
I don't even think a rock band should be able to just destroy things. I don't think anyone should destroy other people's property. You should be able to destroy your own property.
Yes. Feel free to do it.
Destroy your property on your property. There you go. Then you do what you want to do.
Thank you, Minda.
Yeah, just blow shit up.
There you go. Words of reason. Here's a story. Taco Bell hot sauce saves a man from being hit by a car. How does that happen?
It is the best sauce.
It is?
The fire sauce.
You like that?
Yeah, out of the three, mild, hot, and fire is the way to go.
See, I hardly ever eat a Taco Bell.
Oh, I don't eat there anymore.
But when I do, I don't get any sauce.
Oh,
I get the chicken burrito and the beef burrito.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay.
I don't need sauce. It's got sauce in it. It's a fucking burrito.
Interesting. So I make my own tacos at home, and I buy the Taco Bell sauce from the grocery store.
Oh, and then you add it.
Yeah. I don't need a Taco Bell.
You don't eat Arby's?
No, I don't eat fast food so much anymore.
You eat Arby's? You don't like Arby's? See?
No fast food.
Yeah. I when I'm on the road, that's the thing. Sometimes I don't like...
He's an Arby's man. He's saying.
Well, here's the thing. I like... Like when I usually like fast food today, I had a Wendy's Go Wrap. That's my thing, right? Because it's just a little piece of chicken and a little white piece, white.
Wendy's Go Wrap should sponsor the podcast.
They should.
Like Wake Up Late with Dougie show. If you're late for, you woke up late, get your Wendy's Go Wrap.
Yeah, don't miss the show. Go pick up a Go Wrap. I should, you know, I should start videoing every time I go there and get
it. Oh, please, yeah. You should. Right?
And
oh,
here
my
I'm back,
God.
At, back at Wendy's with my go wrap. And then next thing you know,
blow
boom.
You up, man. And like, you'll know your lady. She'll say hi to your thing. Yeah.
I mean, I used to get two because they're so small. You know, so they're like, they used to be $4.12 or 18 cents. So I always had the right change.
Uh-huh.
And then they went up. Now they're $4.26 for two of them.
Oh, I hate when they
Which
do
is
that.
Easier because it's a quarter and a penny. Who doesn't have a quarter in your change thing and pennies? It's hard when you got to start finding nickels and fucking dimes. That's when things get a little, when you got to make change and you need a nickel, dime, pennies, and a quarter. That's like trying to get a bunch of people together that normally wouldn't be together.
Who the hell's paying in cash? Is what I want to know. No. Nickels, pennies, dimes. Yeah. Like, who's reaching for fucking coins
I
now?
I still believe in cash, baby. No, I'll just pay cash.
I'm sure you probably like rolling around with like a big wad of cash, don't you? I could see like you're the type of guy where it's like, oh, I got to pay for my drink. And then whoosh. Yeah, you know, it's like a big stack of hundreds. Like, can you break 100?
Yeah,
like,
that's me. Daddy Warbucks. For the second time this year, Taco Bell's hot sauce has saved a life. Just weeks after Oregon man cited his survival after being trapped in a snowstorm for 5 days to living off packets of hot sauce. Remember that story a couple weeks ago from the last food chain. Police in Florida say another Taco Bell customer yearning for the spicy condiment prompted him to get up and grab some right before a car plowed into his table.
Whoa, all right. So I could see how they're loosely correlating that.
You really buried the lead on that one.
Woo, way to go, Taco Bell PR. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it was the hot sauce.
Yeah.
It says here that a local outlet of the news reports 77-year-old man leaving a Taco Bell in Winter Haven, Florida, on Saturday afternoon accidentally smashed his car into the restaurant while trying to leave. That's usually... Then when they put it in drive instead of fucking reverse.
It's super old, right?
I will never, if you're ever in Florida and you're at one of these fat, like a chain store, any of these fucking malls, don't ever sit there in front. You're going to die, okay? Mm. My wife's hair salon, some fucking old lady did the same thing and crashed just outside the hair salon. Smashed into the building and shit.
I think my favorite thing about that article is they called Taco Bell a restaurant.
Yeah, the association. driver, Emmanuel Akawua, and his wife were unharmed in the accident, which saw his SUV finally stopped after 10 feet inside the building.
Thanks to the hot sauce.
Also injured the diner who moved just moments before the crash. A spokesman for the Winter Haven Police Department confirmed that the customer told responding officers about how the hot sauce had resulted in his lucky escape. I mean, he shitted for the next 6 hours, but he didn't get run over by an old man, so that's
all
good
right.
news.
Yeah, and the lady in there was told that she deserved to die because she didn't use hot sauce on her taco.
Yeah,
like, so.
Yeah. So next time I go to Arby's, I'm going to get some Arby's
that's
sauce.
That's what I'm saying. Go for the sauce.
I never get Arby's sauce. I don't need Arby's sauce. I get my favorite sandwich is the beef and cheddar.
Ugh,
it's delicious.
I don't eat roast beef from places with drive-thrus.
No?
But
here's a big thing. The most underrated sandwich at Arby's is the chicken cordon bleu.
That is a good sandwich. I agree.
I think we need to take away is just don't stay seated. You keep it moving when you're in the fast food.
It's a good weight loss idea, too.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're gonna eat fast food, just eat and walk at the same time. Here's a story. Oh, Ohio man lashes out at a judge over sentence and then gets a longer sentence. It's never good to argue with the fucking judge. Do you remember that here in Florida, that young girl? That she kept talking back to the judge, like, this isn't fair. You're an asshole. What? You put her in, like, 90 days of contempt.
That is so me.
Yeah.
Yeah. 22-year-old Minda would have totally talked her way into a longer sentence. Like, this is fucked up, you know? And then I would have gotten, like, rules, and I would have been way over my head in law. Like, it would have been a whole thing.
Ohio man was sentenced to decades in prison earlier this month.
Decades.
He lashed out in court, and the judge was not pleased. Manson Bryant, 32, appeared in a Lake County Common Pleas Court in Plainsville on March 1st. He was charged with aggravated robbery and kidnapping in July of 2018 following an alleged home invasion, according to the news post from the Lake County Sheriff's Office. It says here that Bryant, after expressing remorse for what he did, was sentenced to 22 years in prison by Judge Eugene Lucey. In a video that was released on Tuesday and published by Fox News, Bryant tried to fight back, seemingly by shouting expletives to the judge.
All right.
Did he just get into a food fight?
I don't know.
Did that come out of my kitchen?
I don't know where that came out of, but expletives to a judge.
He said, fuck your courtroom, you racist ass bitch. I'm trying. They got just the letter and dash, dash, dash. So I'm trying to.
Yeah. To be fair to him, he was going to jail for a long time anyway. So why not double up at that point?
But 20 years can turn into 10 with good behavior.
No,
and everything.
Not with the kidnapping.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kidnapping. I mean, unless it was like, you know, he kidnapped like a crackhead or something. It wasn't real kidnapping. If that was like a kid or any kind of like lesser person, you're going down for kidnapping. I don't think that's recoverable.
Fuck your courtroom, man, Brian yelled. 22 fucking years, you racist ass bitch.
Yeah, I don't think the type of person that is kidnapping is thought any of this through.
No.
So
this guy doesn't have a plea. This guy doesn't have a life coach.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy.
He seems reactive.
Yeah. This guy is very reactive. That was clear remorse he was trying to portray was phony and that he wasn't remorseful at all. So he came, oh, I'm really sorry for what I did. 22 years. You motherfucker! Yeah, that's good.
That's what happens.
Bryant's attorney in a statement to the news outlet said that Bryant had an emotional and regrettable reaction to his sentencing. Well said, attorney. Did you learn that in law school? He was otherwise very composed throughout the course of the trial. Even when the verdict was rendered, he intends to appeal the verdict. I'm gonna appeal this motherfucking verdict. I'm going to get another fucking judge and another motherfucking attorney.
Man, I feel worse for the other people that he kidnapped that we don't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still out there.
They're still out there. Lucci, Bryant's tirade wasn't the first front of a judge. In 2014, when Lucci sentenced him to 12 months in prison, he said Bryant walked out of the court saying, suck my dick, judge.
Okay.
And that won't get you. That won't get you off.
It's like a Breakfast Club when he's just like, "You want another? You want another detention?"
Yeah, you don't argue with judges. I love. That's why sometimes I still like to watch like the People's Court.
Yeah.
And then you know Judge Judy, man,
it's she's not
a
real.
She's a fucking bitch. Yeah. It's not. It's all fake. I heard that Judge
yeah,
Judy
it's
is
all
the only.
Fake. I mean, they're casted just like anyone. It's real.
They said that the only real one is People's Court.
Mm. Okay.
All the other ones are fake.
Otherwise,
that makes
it's
sense.
The original reality TV.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's throwback right there. All right. So he's going to jail anyway.
Yeah.
Not about his 22 years. I don't see him getting an appeal on that.
What's the only thing you can look forward to when you're in jail? Conjugal visit? That's it?
I don't know. Free food?
Yeah, free room and board.
If you're
structure.
Homeless.
Free sex.
Structure.
Structure.
Yeah.
You could get in shape.
It's disciplinarying. Yeah, you can get pretty disciplined in while you're in the fucking big house, as they say.
Yeah. They just pretty much give you a lot of options, like with commissary, that can all kill you. I mean, it's just, you know, you can't live on honey buns.
Have you ever been, you ever came close to going to jail?
Hell no. No way. Oh my God. I've never even been like arrested or like accosted or like, I don't know.
I got arrested. Well, kind of arrested when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Had a bad situation.
You almost went around you almost went down the wrong path, Dougie?
Yeah. I was like a fighting gang kind of thing.
So was it the martial arts training that centered you back?
Yeah, well, I got stabbed. I still got the knife mark here.
Okay.
The guy stabbed me. I pulled it out, and I cut him. And I spent like 2 weeks in a detention center.
Ooh, how old were you then?
13.
Ooh.
Okay, so was there weirdo, like, hazing things going on in the detention center? Were, like, other detainees
Are you asking me, did I get ass fucked when I was there? Is that what you're trying to find out?
I wasn't saying that.
No,
I said others.
No, I was I was, you know.
You were safe. You were tough
enough
that no one
was
going
to
look at you as prey.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I choked a man to death with my bed sheets the first night I was there. No, I'm like,
wow.
No.
He stuck his dick in all the ketchups.
I showed them. I'm going to learn this someday when I'm a comic. Our last story of the day, a woman 104 years old was arrested.
Get out of town. Yeah.
Just being too old.
Yeah, she got arrested for leaving her fucking teeth out. No, she was arrested at
stealing.
At a care home by police to fulfill a bucket list.
Oh. That's
adorable.
Oh, lame.
That's adorable.
Yeah, isn't that a cute story?
She's old. She could have at least stole something.
She
like...
just killed somebody for the bucket list to get arrested? Wait, what did she do?
Well, she always wanted to do this, they said. So it says that Anne Brokenbrow. Cheekily grinned as officers arrested her inside her care home and bundled her into a waiting police car.
Okay, hold on. I might see some value in this.
Yeah.
Question, does it say, did everybody else in the home know that it was real or think that it was fake? Yes, because now if this is a hilarious prank where she stroked out all her little old friends in the nursing where they came like a badass. Could you imagine you're like 100 and they're like, ma'am, can you please get up out of the walker and put your hands behind your back? Like, that's kind of hardcore for all the other, like, putting nursing home people, like, on, like, just blast about, like, don't mess with me.
I got you. Like, scare the shit out of them.
That's the kind of situation where they assume it's strippers. And then they're like, oh, these are cops.
And listen, in those nursing homes, they fuck.
Yeah.
My mom was in a nursing home, and she said the lady that she shared a room with would kick her out all the time so she can have sex with this old dude.
And then what did your...
What did my mom do?
Well, she got the fuck out. You know, everyone got a second wind with the ED medicine.
The blue pill.
You want the blue pill or the red pill? I'll take the blue one.
Oh, man. So I hope that was a hilarious prank and she went all the way with it.
Yeah, she did. They carried her away and stuff and, you know. And that she got to, she got her bucket list. So she got to be arrested. I don't know if that's on my bucket list.
That's a weird thing to be on a bucket list.
Yeah.
Like, I thought bucket list things were things that were, like, great accomplishments
or super fun
or, like, travel, had, like, a lot of value.
Being in a hot air balloon, skydiving.
Entertainment value.
Threesome.
Proudness value, pride. You know,
you have
I
a bucket
know.
List, John?
I don't.
No?
Maybe I'll...
You're starting to create your own bucket list now?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I, why not, right?
Yeah. What's on yours?
Mine? I don't really have one, I guess. I try to do everything I possibly can.
I don't even need a bucket.
Yeah. First, I got to
get a bucket.
Let's start with that. Let's get the bucket first. And that's what we'll do right after we finish this show, which is over now. That's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank Minda for joining us today, of course.
Thanks. Just another thing now to check off my bucket list.
That's right.
Yeah, the greatness of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Check.
It is great. And by the way, if you're a Bremen Motors Car member, you got a chance maybe still to get to the iHeart Performance Theater tonight for our 7:15 show.
You'll beat us.
That's right, because we probably won't be there yet. I got a whole ass. But on Friday, go to Casey and Spaz Comedy. There's a Palm Bay. I forgot the name of the venue, but go to Casey and Spaz Comedy.
Martin Downs Clubhouse.
That's it. Thank you very much. Martin Downs Clubhouse on Friday night, tomorrow night, and on Saturday at the Sunrise Theater. In Fort Pierce, you can catch John Fish and Comedy Spaz.
Casey
and Spaz Comedy. This Friday night or Saturday night, you'll catch me at Downtown Daytona Live with Nadeem Awad. And then the Crossroads Tavern in Bonnell, Florida on Sunday. Got a Sunday gig.
Nice.
Not bad there. And go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Then also going to, you know, Hiram Rios has got a new room.
Yeah, we're on
doing
the show
that
together
show next week.
Next week,
yeah,
yeah. There you go.
When that's going to be in Pembroke Pines,
West Pines,
West Pines Comedy Room, and it's at the Il Toscano restaurant. All these Italian restaurants. Yeah. He's been inspired by me to do it.
Back in the day, it was Chinese food restaurants. Now it's
That's right. Italian, they used to do a lot of comedy, little Chinatown shit. So we're going to be there, and then I'm going to be at the Cricket Comedy Club on next week on Saturday.
Where's that at?
At the VFW in Oakland Park,
Florida.
Oh,
okay, we're on.
Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates, and I'm going to be at Zanies in Chicago, so check that shit out. Follow our show at Wake Up Dougie on Twitter and our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and you can follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and on Twitter. Where can they find you?
On all social channels, you can find me at Minda's Awesome.
There you go. How about you, John?
J.D. Fish, J.D. F-I-S-C-H. On Instagram and Johnny Fish on Twitter.
Johnny Fish. I was trying to find you on John Fish and all these other schleps pulled up. I'm like, where's John? And all these other fucking people. I'm trying to find you're trying to look at somebody and see the photo and it's so small and you're looking and like, and then it was Johnny Fish. I'm like, he doesn't like Johnny. You call him John. And you spell it J-O-N-N-Y.
J-O-N-N-Y.
Yeah, there you go.
Jew.
That's very Jew. but that's it. That's all we have time for, guys. Thanks. We'll be back next week with all new shows. In the meantime, take care, God bless, and we'll see you here next time at the same spot.
People on earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And yellow colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel through the world on a silvery light. waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as he landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Through the door to the world, I'm alive.